This is Dave Meltzer on this week's episode of The Playbook. I have the Rocky of Bellator, three-time lightweight champion Michael Chandler with me to talk about not just the enemy, but the inner me and what it's like to be the underdog almost your entire life. Speaking of underdogs, my producer, this is the second time we've had to do this because he lost the card. And luckily we did it a second time because this may be the best episode.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, here with Entrepreneur The Playbook. I should call it Playbook Unplugged. Michael Chandler, three-time MMA Bellator champion. Incredible, man. That last fight was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a good one. It was a redemption story. You know, I had lost the belt a couple years ago to this guy. So to be able to build myself back up and get the belt back was awesome. So.
Yeah, I lived my life trying to brand myself as that redemption economically story. But you and I have similar stories as far as redemption that were always the underdog. Mm-hmm. And I started doing a little bit of work with Rudy Rudiger. Have you ever seen the movie Rudy?
Oh my gosh, who hasn't? Yes, okay. I love that.
Yeah, you love it? Well, it was interesting because he told me a story about how even Kobe Bryant loved Rudy. And I'm like, you know, I understand how Mike Chandler loves Rudy, yeah. Dave Meltzer loves Rudy, but why would Kobe love Rudy? And what he said was that every time Kobe complained as a kid, you know, because they were traveling in Italy and all this stuff, that his dad would hand him the DVD. Yeah. And say, don't waste the talent that God gave you. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole nother nuance, not just the underdogs, yeah. but guys that were born with all the talent, a lot of times they waste it. And I think in your sport, a lot of times, a lot of guys waste what could be in life an opportunity. Where was it, you know, in your life that you realized, you know what, I may not be born with all the gifts of everyone else. I think you were the last guy picked on your wrestling team.
Yeah.
But you knew somewhere in your soul that you were good enough.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I grew up as a son of a carpenter, son of a secretary. My mom was a secretary. So early on, right away, number one, I knew the value of earning a dollar. Number two, I earned the value of pulling myself up by my bootstraps since day one. You know, so I had that going for me. You know, I mean, a lot of people say, man, I wish I was born with all the money and all the this and all the that. I was happy that I was born with just that work ethic, just that mentality.
Do you ever feel sorry for the people that were born with everything?
I do a little bit, you know, and I do, and that's, you know, and all of us have a different story, and a lot of people can use being born with that to their platform and to be able to speak to people. But for me, it's growing up as the little guy from a little town who wasn't necessarily taught to do huge things. You know, a lot of people who come from where I'm from didn't go off and do these large things. But I've always had this tugging and yearning on my heart, knowing that God has me in the palm of his hand throughout the whole thing. And I was, like you said, I had to walk on to the University of Missouri wrestling team because I wasn't getting division.
You were Rudy.
I wasn't getting any Division I offers. You know, I was turning down scholarships to smaller schools, and you know, everybody said, why are you gonna go take this big step? Why are you gonna go walk onto this Division I wrestling team? What if you never start? What if you quit? What if you just ride the bench? But for some reason, I was willing to take that chance, and it turned me into a couple-time team captain. I was a four-time NCAA qualifier, All-American, and it turned me into the man I am, the competitor I am today, now three-time MMA world champion because of the fact that I took a chance on myself. So
you're the only, I think, three-time MMA world champion. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So which is awesome, but that also means you have to lose the belt a couple times to actually become, you know, three-time, but But like you said, you know, I think America loves winners, but America and the world loves a redemption story, like you said. So if I got to go through a little bit of pain, a little bit of anguish to get to the platform that I have now, so be it.
Why is it, do you think, that some people can, you know, win throughout their career, and yet, you know, you obviously prepare the right way. You mm-hmm. work harder than anyone because you don't have what the gifts that everyone else has, mm-hmm. but you have a heart, which is a bigger gift. Why is it you think that you actually lost those fights?
You know, I think any time that I have fallen short in my life, it's because I didn't give myself permission to win. And like I said, I was a small guy from a small town, so it wasn't ingrained in me. Nobody ever quite told me, Michael, you should go out there and win the world. If you want to do anything in the entire world, you can go do that and you can grasp that. To me, I was kind of brought up in that mentality of, okay, you work hard and maybe good things will happen, but just continue to work hard. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. It's not a defeated mentality, or it's not anything like that. It's more of just, there's not a ton out there that is guaranteed, and there's a lot of safety in working hard and keeping your nose to the grindstone. So I've always been fighting this little guy inside me, this little bitty guy from a little bitty town. I was the kid who was too small to play football, basketball, whatever. I had to wrestle. I didn't have hair under my armpits till I was 20 years old, you know? So I was a late bloomer. I was a small guy. So that guy's still in there. So I'm constantly beating him over the head every single day to try to continue to remind myself that God put me on this earth for great things. And anytime that I've fallen short, I had done all the preparation. I had worked the hardest in the room. Any coach that I've ever trained under, you could interview them and they would say, Michael Chandler was the hardest worker in the room. And I know that without a doubt. But when it got to the competition, when I somehow found a way to almost win, there was 30 seconds left on the clock and I'm up by a takedown against the number three guy in the country, I would somehow find a way to lose. And it's that self-sabotage, yeah, that self-sabotage mentality, and that cognitive dissonance of my values and what I truly believe not lining up with reality, which was about to happen. Therefore, I made sure I dummied myself down back to that average small guy from a small town. And I'm constantly fighting it every single day.
Yeah, I learned a really valuable lesson when I was on Ed Milet's show. Mm-hmm. Because Ed talked about this internal thermometer.
The governor, on the thermometer. And when I heard that, I said, holy cow, yeah, you know?
And it's me, and I did it in sports as well. And I look back and, you know, when you said you took those chances, I always say nobody regrets taking the chances. But everyone, when you get to be 51 like me, they'll tell you, I regret this, you know, like not trying. Mm-hmm. You know, and the what-ifs and could-haves and should-haves. I don't regret that I took all that time to play college football and did everything I could, even though I had a lot of the Littleman syndrome. And it carries over, though, into business because we both grew up poor. Mm-hmm. And I had that same problem with my wealth.
Yeah.
That I was, you know, it was almost like guilty, and then there was this void, this unconscious competency that we're talking about that, man, I'm a fraud.
Yeah.
Like all this money, I'm so successful. And now this time around, I still have a little bit in me, but I'm in such receivership of that, you know, I am all this.
Yeah.
I am, and I'm doing it through me for other people, which really gives me that fight. Now, business-wise, what was the first, because you said, you know, you wanted to earn everything. Yeah. What was your first business?
My first business, I guess, would be wrestling camps. You know, I would do, you know, luckily I had a gift of wrestling, and yeah, I had a bunch of, you know, I could go back to my high school and we could rent out the gymnasium and we could bring, you know, 60 kids in, they pay X amount of dollars and you'd make a little bit of money, you know, and that was the first time I, you know, really, really made money. So that was in college.
You kind of do the same thing now. You have your own gym.
Yeah. So now I have a gym and so fitness and health and wellness and working out. It's always been my gift. And I've just had so many people in my life. And as we sit here, you can think of 10 people, 20 people in your life that said, if it wasn't for he or she, right, I would not be here. You know, and for me,
those catalysts.
Yeah. For me, they've always been coaches or they've been mentors, but for the most part, coaches. So I've always said, if I could be a coach, if I could be the guy that people look up to when I'm in the cage or when I'm in the gym or whenever I'm in the wrestling room or even just on social media, wherever I am, if I can be that coach, I can monetize it. It's an awesome thing.
Well, why do you think, this is interesting, because I coach a lot of current athletes and mm-hmm. transitioning athletes, but I find it interesting that there's a resistance at first, because I don't push they come to me,
yeah,
but there's a resistance at first. Kids, adults, that their entire life has been changed by coaches and teachers, all of a sudden get in the business world and somehow don't want to coach.
Yeah. Well,
why do you think that is?
I think it's just information and knowledge that it does even exist. I think I think we're just now starting to see it through the power of social media and the range and the width and the depth of what social media and what entrepreneurship is. We're starting to realize that number one, there are actual business coaches out there that maybe just flew under the radar because there was no way to really know about them.
Right.
And two, I
one of those.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. And two, I think there is a humility factor. I think what there's so much negativity that could come into the world in 2019 through social media and through the news and this, that, and the other thing, but it has also brought to light the positivity of humility and the human condition that human beings are someone that are a species to be admired, to be looked up to. And with that, there's so much, like as you talk about all the time, gratitude and the humility to say, I do need help. I am not in control. And with that, you're seeing some of the most powerful people in the world, in business, say, yes, I am who I am, but I would not be who I was without having a coach, you know? Yeah.
And I still have my own coaches as well. It's interesting because most really successful athletes, I could say, vibrate faster, right? They're highly actualizing people.
Yeah.
And what happens a lot of times too is that they're afraid because they haven't practiced the trade of business, because mm-hmm. your life has been focused for so long on making you a champion,
yeah.
that, you know, while I'm studying in law school and business and, you know, losing millions and making millions and all of those things, you're in the ring and you're at the gym,
yeah.
and our bodies will show the difference. You know, I don't try to compete, although I think I might do a push-up competition.
There we go.
A little B-roll.
There we go. Let's do that.
Clap. I'll keep my shirt on. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think a lot of times that they're afraid, like, oh, Dave's gonna think I'm stupid, or mm-hmm. like, I don't know what simple interest is, or I don't.
Yeah.
Where it's actually the opposite to me, because I see unlimited potential by working with professional athletes, because they are winners. They know how to win. Mm-hmm. They have a spirit of excellence. And there's all the simple stuff
yeah.
that I can encourage and show them. Just like a coach, whether you're a golf coach, a wrestling coach, it's like, hey, if you move your hand a little bit here, yep. it's easier. That doesn't take hyper intelligence. The same thing business. For example, we were talking about your current business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're learning a lesson that I learned just through experience, that owning a gym is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because of employees and overhead.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of work.
You don't like someone wish employees and overhead on them.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, it is a lot of work, and obviously, you know, like as I said, I got into that fitness space, into that fitness realm, because I've seen how it has changed my life, and I see how I every day I wake up with gratitude because of who I get to be in the two capable arms, two capable legs to be able to go out and do great things with this body that I have. But I've also seen what a blessing fitness is on people's lives. And not just because they're going to live longer and they're going to feel better, but the inner self-confidence and that inner competence that they feel because they grow their fitness prowess, you know. And, you know, having a brick and mortar, it's a 10,000 square foot facility. So there's a lot of moving parts. There is the overhead and there's the insurance and the taxes and all that stuff that you don't quite understand when you get into business. But it's finding that balance of realizing, why did you start? You started because I want to see those tears of joy and those hugs and those high fives that I get that I've already gotten in just such a short amount of time. And also learning to continue to become a better businessman and try not to put so much pressure on myself as a businessman, because yes, I have spent 90% of my life in some sort of workout capacity, some sort of wrestling room, football field, ring, MMA gym, whatever I may be, not focusing on business, not learning how to be a better businessman. So
you got plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so but
I'm happy to coach you. So
hey, exactly.
One of the other interesting things that I found is I spent my whole life in the brick and mortar world, mm-hmm. and now most recently branding myself kind of as, you know, Uncle Dave, the old man of Instagram.
Yeah.
But you get that great fulfillment, and you started to figure it out as well. You have a great Instagram and you're providing content. You have your own now kind of fitness instruction program that you mm-hmm. can reach millions of people
yeah.
without the overhead.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? No, and honestly, without the employees and overhead mm-hmm. and still get, you know, I get these things. Hey man, you changed my life, right? Nothing excites me more when a guy's like, in less than a month, I made this much money, Dave, just because I was a student of my calendar.
Right.
Like one little thing, mm-hmm. not rocket science,
yeah.
or just being consistent or mm-hmm. whatever it is. You know, how do you see yourself with that platform of Instagram? Because that's perpetual, you yeah. know, long after, you know, what exactly are you doing right now to help people on Instagram?
Yeah, so me, I mean, I do have that online fitness program. It's a training camp cut, because essentially my whole life, which is, this is funny too, my gym is called training camp, you know?
Your first job was training camp.
Yeah, exactly. My life revolves around training camp. You know, right now I'm not in training camp. You and I are here, and we can kind of hang out, and life isn't as crazy. But as soon as I get a fight and it's announced, I go into training camp. My life changes, my diet changes, my workout train changes, my mental preparation, everything changes, and I go into that training camp. And then the online program is the training camp cut, helping people see how a mixed martial arts fighter diets, trains, supplements, sleeps, recovers, and everything that kind of goes into it. So a lot of them are more male driven, because a lot of more male MMA fans, but we have a lot of females hopping into. Yeah, there you go.
And she was pre-training, then went to training camp. I almost didn't recognize her. Yeah. She was so ripped, and she's an amazing fighter.
It is crazy too, because I think one of the other things too, and even talking about shifting is learning the balance of, when I'm in training camp, I feel like a robot. I don't feel like a normal human being. I try to figure out how I can go every day with still feeling like a human being and not a robot. But then when I go out of training camp, as you say, it's kind of the off season, so I need to stay up late or sleep in a little bit or give myself some leeway in here or there, my diet, obviously, you know, just so I don't feel like a robot all the time and I don't hit that kind of burnout.
What do you do though consistently throughout non-training and training camp? Are there certain things that you consistently do?
You know, I mean,
I'm a big consistency guy.
Yeah, I know. Right? I mean, and it's so inspiring, and it's inspiring to hear what you do every morning, your morning routine and that kind of stuff. And social media has shown us, and it's given us access to seeing, okay, well, if he's successful and he does this, what can I glean from him? What can I glean from her? What can I, you know? For me, what I realized whenever I had a really bad loss streak, I lost 3 fights in a row, 688 days without a win. Right. So I went from number 3 in the world to, like, who knows, number 300. Yeah, we forget about that guy. He's never coming back.
Right.
And through that, I realized that my negative self-talk kind of, you know, I lost a fight and all of a sudden I forgot how good I was. So that perpetuated a downward spiral of negative self-talk. And that little guy from the little town just became huge, you know? Wow. And so I realized what I put into my mind and what the real battle is between the ears. So it's reading, whether it's some sort of self-help, motivational type of book.
Dave Meltzer videos.
Oh, of course. And that's the other thing, too. The videos, I mean, obviously, and that's the other thing, too, realizing that in 2019, we have such a leg up on our parents and our parents' parents, because they used to read the newspaper, and now we can hop on YouTube, and there's millions of hours of very good, uplifting content. You know, so, like, listen to your stuff, videos, which podcasts and all that kind of stuff, just to realize that you are in control of, and you have to take ownership of what goes on inside your mind and your self-image. And so I'm constantly thinking about how can I build my self-image. So for me, it's mental highlight reels, writing down all the things that I've accomplished and actually patting myself on the back. Because when you come from that kind of small guy from a small town mentality, where my dad never patted himself on the back, he was expected to be up at 4:45 and work harder than anyone else. My mom was expected to do that, but they never quite said, you know what, I am proud of myself. I should pat myself on the back. So I adopted that. So I'd win a world title and I would never stop to smell the roses and actually be proud of myself, because there was always something more to accomplish. So I think that's something that I do every day, where I actually do give myself permission to love myself and say positive things to myself and build myself up.
Yeah, that you're worthy.
Yeah, that you're worthy, and you deserve to continue to have success.
I'll give you a little bit of advice and ask you the last question. So, yeah, number one, I would create that mantra, because I do it for myself, because we have the same syndrome, that I'm worthy.
Yeah.
Because, right? Like, we're so worthy of everything that we have, and because not only are we worthy of receiving it, but we're worthy of adding value for the purpose of giving it to other people, which is what you do with your brick and mortar business, is what you do with your online business, is what you do with your personal life as well. Mm-hmm. But that's a consistent message you have to, because that will hold that little man down.
Yeah.
Even when things don't go our way. And I created this thing that I had learned. I was telling myself, I used to say cancel, clear, connect. Sometimes I just tell myself, turn the channel. Yeah. I don't want to watch that channel.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, that channel is black and white. It's on an old, you know, rabbit ear TV. I'm not going to listen to that channel. I'm going to change the channel to the one, the worthiness, the guy who's changing the world, impacting people.
I like that.
One piece of business advice. We were talking about the business. I think so many people make the mistake at a young age, successful entrepreneurs, businessmen, athletes, is they have their passion, but they don't think about the profitability side first, mm-hmm. right? And so we do businesses that we're passionate about, and some of them are profitable, but not nearly as profitable if we reverse engineer and say, let me look at things a little differently. Like even in my own life, what I decided to do was, you know what, why not, I'm good at making money, why not take, instead of worrying about investing my money over here and all this stuff that takes so much time, why not just focus in on what I'm good at about making money and put it into something I don't have to think about. Because if I double the money here, I don't need to double the money in my savings. Yeah. I can make 6% here guaranteed and never lose a penny.
Yeah.
Just, you know, anyone out there, if you don't think you should be somewhere between 4% and 6%, no matter what the economy, you can find vehicles that are almost guaranteed yeah. to give you that on average every year and forget about it. Then focus your attention and intention as a highly intelligent, vibrating, actualizing person into figuring out where does that money, my energy really go? Like your internet business is yeah. scalable. My dad called it, I didn't understand it. Don't get so busy working, you forget to make money.
Yeah.
Right? And that's yeah. what the gym will do to you sometimes. Yeah. Right?
It will.
You get so yeah. busy working, you forget to make money. All right, last question. Not going to be about Rudy or Rocky, although I really wanted to ask more about those. this title, you know, you off season, you film TV shows, your brand, you know, where do you see fighting taking you?
I think for me, it's the shiny, flashy object that gets eyeballs on me to be able to show people who I am and what I'm all about and why I was put on this earth. You know, it's a cool thing. I mean, not many people can say that they have fought in a cage now 23 times, and by the time I'm done fighting, I'll probably be around 30 something. But to say that you fought that many times in a cage, people just kind of look at you a little bit differently because it is so interesting. So I've been given such an amazing gift of making a great living for myself and my family, and also doing something so cool that people are interested and want to see, you know, kind of peer in and look at what's going on. And through that, by saying, well, yeah, here's how I cut weight, or here's how I beat this guy or that guy, or the other thing. By the way, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. How can I help you do this? How can I bring value to you through that? You know, so I think when I'm done with fighting, I will always be the fighter, you know? So when I'm able to speak in front of crowds, when I'm able to have, you know, a growing online business, a growing online presence, I will always be that guy who is the fighter. So people will always be able to look in and say, man, that's cool. Let's learn more about that. And then with that, I can have that segue to impact a ton of lives, you know? So I think I've been given some great gifts and some great kind of intuition just even through the last 30 years of my life. And I can't imagine what it's going to be 10 years from now. And I just want to, you know, kind of do exactly what you're doing, literally living to serve other people, and then somehow look back and say, holy cow, how did I turn this into a living?
Like, talk about gratitude, right?
Yeah. Like, how have I actually made money doing this? Because I've been having so much fun just enjoying pouring into people, you know, help a lot of people. What do you say?
Help a lot of people, have a lot of fun,
you know, like, and you look back and you say, and you're like, how the heck have I been making money doing this? It's just, you know.
I was just at a business coaching client and had jet fighters and trick helicopters, and they invited us to go flying up there, and I'm on way here going, man, how is this my life?
Yeah.
And you know, other people are looking at this as work. Mm-hmm. I'm just so inspired by you. I know we have all those N-words, inspired, intuition, intellect. I tell people all the time, you want to start somewhere, go study the dictionary and look at the N-words.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When exactly. We start looking N-words.
Yeah,
N-words. N-words and N-words, O-R-D-S too.
Right.
And you're someone that has always done that and has not always, you know, lived up to the potential that you had because you got in your own way.
Yeah.
What I love about you is you're one of the few people that illuminate it. You're aware of it. And now, once again, you're on top as the three-time MMA champion, and I couldn't be prouder to be your friend.
Well, thank you. And I could give you one more N-word, which I heard this from my pastor first, and I love it because he said that sometimes the enemy is the inner me, you know? Sometimes the enemy is the inner me, and that is so true. And I look and I say, man, that little guy from that little town, he's the inner me. He's inside there. So I have to constantly think about knowing that this enemy, it's the enemy that I'm fighting every single day. And if I can just somehow, like you said, hold him down, stuff him in a closet, change, hit him over the head with a pillow, change the channel, whatever I have to do, whatever metaphor I have to do, by surrounding myself with the best people possible and working extremely hard and having faith and knowing that my best days and blessed days are out ahead of me. So sometimes the enemy is the inner me, and I keep on beating him down.
can't beat that. You got two little guys from two little towns. Yes. Michael Chandler, world champion. Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.